Hello, everybody. Welcome back to For the Girls. I hope everyone had a good non-Grand Prix weekend. We were missing the racing this weekend, but we had a few fun announcements over the past few weeks. Everyone's been getting their merch. It's rolling in. So as it comes and gets delivered, please take pictures. We love seeing it in the wild. Same goes with the bags that we launched last week. We're really excited about those. And a reminder to review and rate the podcast whenever you listen. It really helps us out. So let's talk about what we're going to talk about today. We're going to be doing a deep dive on none other than Carlos Sainz Vázquez de Castro, a.k.a. Carlos Sainz. But I thought it'd be fun to throw in his full name. He's having a bit of a moment, so we thought, why not talk about his entire life and career today? And let us know if you like these deep dives. We've done a few of them in the past, and if you have any other ideas for them, definitely write them in. We'd love to hear what you all would love to hear. So with that, I'm Chessa.
I'm Tiggy.
And I'm Sarah. As Chessa said, Carlos is really the driver of the moment right now, so we figured it was time for a bit of a backstory. He's the only non-Red Bull driver to have won a race both this season and last season.
Whoa.
And yeah, it's a crazy stat every time we say it. And he's now really hitting his prime and his stride at age 29, but he's already had a really long career in F1. He made his first F1 full season debut in 2015, so almost 10 years ago. He's raced for four teams: Toro Rosso, which is now VCarb, Renault, McLaren, and of course, Ferrari. And he's actually in the top half of most experienced drivers on the grid based on number of Grand Prix starts. He started 186 races, so he's only behind Max, Nico Hülkenberg, who's a stealth number two on this ranking, Bottas, Ricciardo, Checo, Lewis, and Alonso, several of whom are substantially older than Carlos. So he's really up there in terms of experience. He's stacked up 21 podiums so far from 5 pole positions and 3 wins. His wins are all in the past few years: Australia 2024, of course, Singapore 2023, and then in 2022, he won his first race ever at Silverstone, which is an absolutely fun, classic race. If you haven't seen it, definitely go into the F1 TV archives and check it out. And all but 2 of his podiums are with Ferrari, but the first 2 were with McLaren, which we will get into.
A very successful and versatile driver. So let's rewind. Early life, how did he get to where he is today? So Carlos was born on September 1st, 1994. He's a 90s baby in Madrid, Spain, into a family that is very, very well known in the motorsport world. Many of you probably know his dad, Carlos Sainz Sr. He's a 2-time world rally champion. He grew up watching a fellow Spaniard and future F1 rival, Fernando Alonso, in F1. And when Carlos was 11 and 12, Alonso won the 2005 and 2006 World Championships with Renault. So this is about the same time that Carlos started karting. He participated in the karting circuit for several years, picking up a few titles before he made his single-seater debut in 2010 in the Formula BMW series. And he became the youngest Formula BMW winner and was also the first rookie to win a race in this series. So it's interesting that he started karting at a relatively late age, age 11, which is when a lot of drivers start when they're really little kids. So definitely a little bit on the later side, but he had it in his blood and in his family.
Yeah. Why need to start when you're 4 when it's already in your blood? It's like,
exactly.
It was already nascent, ready to go.
Motorsport royalty. And then after karting, he made his rounds through many of the open wheel series, including Formula Renault, Formula 3, GP3, and Formula Renault 3.5, picking up lots of race wins, podiums, finishing strongly in the driver's standings. And then at the same time, he was also a part of the Red Bull Junior program, which he joined in 2010. So a lot of F1 drivers went through the program, which we know at the time it was Pierre Gasly, Daniel Kvyat, and Max Verstappen in the program with him. And then in 2013, he kind of struggled to shine in the GP3 series, and ultimately Kvyat took the title, was promoted directly into F1 rather than Carlos. But then in 2014, Carlos won the Formula Renault 3.5 title, where he beat Gasly out and opened the doors to his F1 career by being promoted to Toro Rosso. And then the rest is history.
It's so crazy when we were doing some of the research for this, the amount of sort of like open wheel single seater series that Carlos did before joining F1. Like, they've now streamlined it more to be like F3, F2, F1. But there was like my jaw dropped at how many there are. And if you actually, if anyone's really wanting to go into and look at like all of this crazy history, if you go to the Red Bull Development Program site, they have like a page that you could scroll for like 2 hours on that basically just goes year by year, every single series and major highlights for every single one of their development drivers. Like if you looked at like a screenshot from 2013, it's like all the drivers they had, all the series they competed in. There was a lot going on back then. It was very interesting. Okay, so let's talk about the start of Carlos's career in F1. So like we said, he's been at a bunch of different F1 teams, but he started in 2015 with Toro Rosso, the feeder series to what we know as Red Bull, and Toro Rosso is now V-Carb. So in 2015, Sainz made his full season F1 debut with the team as the teammate of none other than Max Verstappen. So that's a fun pairing. Sainz was 21 and Max was only 17, the youngest F1 driver to ever start a race. It's insane that Max was 17. Just side note, I don't think I would ever trust myself to drive a regular car at 17, let alone an F1 car. But Sainz had a really strong debut with Toro Rosso. He actually scored points in his first ever race at the Australian GP, which would, of course, end up being an important race for him that he won this year. While Sainz looked really solid starting out his first year there, Max really became the star and was already viewed as sort of the phenom and future world champion that, of course, we know him as today. And they had a pretty testy relationship, even just starting out on their first year.
So funny.
And then transitioning into 2016, at the start of the 2016 season, only five races in, Max got promoted to the Red Bull seat, replacing Daniel Kvyat. And then Max won his very first race in a Red Bull. So really, this was already kind of the Max organization at this point. Daniel Kvyat got demoted back to Toro Rosso to race with Carlos. And Carlos generally outshone Kvyat. As we'll see kind of discussing about this, it's crazy how common in these few years there were mid-season driver moves, which of course we saw with De Vries, but feels much more rare now. 2017, again, some pretty crazy shakeups. Both Sainz and Kvyat started the season with Toro Rosso, but by the end, there were two different drivers driving for Toro Rosso.
Dream.
The same season. So Sainz had made it clear he wanted to move on to Renault. It was obvious at this point that kind of Red Bull had chosen Max. Sainz was not really in contention for a Red Bull seat at that point. Max was driving with Daniel Ricciardo. So Red Bull actually let Sainz be loaned out to Renault for the remainder of the season because Renault had dropped Julian Palmer midseason. Just crazy that this used to be more of a thing. And then Daniel Kvyat just got completely dropped midseason and they replaced him with someone else. So wild
so
times.
Crazy. Also, the Toro Rosso Red Bull Max situation, just it's so interesting with, you know, hindsight 2020, seeing the position Carlos is in now, potentially weighing a Red Bull seat and all of this. So it's really interesting to think about the historical context here because Carlos actually does have a lot of experience in that organization. And we forget some of that sometimes, I think.
Yeah, for sure.
When we get to 2018, so this is when Carlos moves to Renault, he drove with the one and only Nico Hülkenberg, and Sainz finished 10th in the standings, but was actually behind Nico Hülkenberg, who finished P7. And it was really just not meant to be with Renault. The Lewis situation this year is not the first time Carlos has received shock team news. Renault dropped him in favor of Daniel Ricciardo for the 2019 season, and this is when Daniel made his shock departure from Red Bull and was kind of the hottest ticket on the driver's market. And it was a really tough time in Sainz's career. He later said that, quote, after a difficult year with Renault, nobody expected much from me. But thankfully, Sainz got a seat with McLaren for 2019. Things started to turn around. And obviously, we all know how Sainz is now. And it's, I guess, funny again, hindsight 2020, looking at where Danny is too, just to how the tables can turn.
So fast. That's the beautiful thing about this sport. So in 2019, this was Sainz's debut year with McLaren. He had a strong record with the team. He got his first podium of his career at Interlagos in 2019 with McLaren. And then when Sainz joined McLaren, the new rookie that year was Lando, which was his teammate. And famously, they have a really good relationship as far as driver pairings go. And then obviously we see it now, like the two of them are super close. I think both of them went with Zach Brown to the Masters. Am I correct in that? Maybe we have to fact check me, but I did see, I think it was them. We'll check. But 2019, Sainz finished sixth in the driver's standing, the best result of his career so far. And then 2020 was a bit of a weird one. The season was the season start was delayed due to the pandemic. And then it was already announced before the season started that Sainz would be moving to Ferrari for 2021, kind of Hamilton finishing out his year at Mercedes, knowing that he was going to Ferrari. Similar vibes there. But in 2020, Sainz finished P6 again in the driver's standings and then had a nice podium at Monza.
In 2021, Sainz replaced Vettel to drive with Charles at Ferrari. So this was a huge move, kicking off the Sainz that we are all familiar with today. And Sainz joined at a really, really difficult time for the team. The team was in the middle of a huge slump. Vettel was leaving after a testy relationship with Charles and Charles outperforming him. And despite the challenges at the team and the overall lack of performance in the car, Sainz started to gain a reputation for consistency. He actually finished ahead of Charles in 2021 when he first joined. Things changed a bit in 2022. So this was a really pivotal season. Ferrari came out of the gate with the new regulations looking super competitive for a potential world title. As we all remember, it's crazy to think that that was in the realm of possibility a couple years ago, looking at what we see now. But at the start of 2022, it looked super competitive between Ferrari and Red Bull. That was when Charles started seriously outperforming Carlos. And in the first half of the season, Charles was competing with Max for the driver's championship. It seemed like overall Charles was able to get a handle on the new regulation car much faster, while Carlos took time to adapt to the new car.
Yeah, but at the same time, Carlos did have some highlights there, including getting the first win of his career at Silverstone, like we mentioned. That was one of the best and craziest races of the past several years. So again, very highly recommend going to rewatch if you're in the market for old race watching. Carlos also racked up some podiums. He got a Monaco and a Miami podium. But as we all know, Ferrari could not keep up with Red Bull, was plagued both with the kind of team and driver errors. And in the back half of the season, Sainz said his season had turned into a nightmare, which you never want to hear that from a driver. And he had 6 retirements, 2 car failures and 4 crashes or unforced errors. So not the best season for him there. But 2023 is when the Carlos fortunes start to rise. 2023 and 2024 have both kind of felt like similar stories. Ferrari overall has not been able to come close to Red Bull, but Sainz as a driver has looked more and more competitive, including in relation to Charles, especially as we look at the 2024 season. But like we mentioned, Sainz had some incredible wins, Singapore in 2023, Australia this year, both of which are the only non-Red Bull wins of those seasons. So Carlos' stock is certainly on the rise. And
yeah, well, I mean, that one stat for the past 2 years is enough to make anyone be like, oh my God, he needs to be on my team. Like, that is so huge, because that has been the reigning narrative of the past couple of years, is like, who can beat Max? Who can beat Max? Can we get some more excitement on the podium? Like, what's going to happen? And Sainz having that under his belt is huge, especially going into what we know is going to be a pretty crazy, silly season. And we will be talking about his prospects later on in this episode.
Spring is here, which means F1 season is in full swing and festival and concert season is just around the corner. No matter where you go, this season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas has got you covered. This spring, they're offering seasonal and limited edition offerings, including boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. So stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, and shop all the new spring styles. Some stores even have leather custom branding and live music and events. It's so fun. And if you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's TECOVAS.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and will ship right to your door. So go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
We all need a little extra health boost sometimes, and Fleur Marché makes it easy for us to supercharge our wellness. Their botanical wellness patches have been such a fun addition to our routine. We just stick them on wherever we want. They have them for sleep, relaxation, focus, and other things. And the patch delivers ingredients to your body in a subtle but effective way, and the results last up to 12 hours. Fleur Marché also has botanical gummies and their new organic nutritional powder Green Machine. They only use the best ingredients and are tested for potency, contaminants, and heavy metals before and after production.
And one of our favorite things, we also love that the company is founded and inspired by women, with the mission of helping us feel 100% every single day so that we can have full energy and crush it every day. Find your new wellness essentials at fleurmarché.com and get a special discount just for our listeners. Get 20% off your first order site-wide with promo code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout, Orders over $50 also get free shipping. Go to Fleur Marché, FleurMarche.com. Use code for the girls for 20% off your first order.
But first, let's talk about Carlos's driving style. This is a really fun thing to think about for every driver, because every driver is going to have a different driving style, even compared to his teammate in the relatively same car. But for Carlos, he likes his cars to be a bit more on the understeer side, whereas Charles, in contrast, prefers more oversteer. And so, quick refresher, you can think of understeer as making the car more difficult to turn. So if you're trying to make a turn, you could have a hard time making the turn and then drive off straight and run into the barriers instead. So Carlos prefers a little bit of the understeer. And one thing in particular to note about him, he's really taken strategy importantly, like is an important part of his time at Ferrari. As we all know, the Ferrari drivers are notorious for calling their own strategies and fighting back on the driver radios and asking about plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, onwards, etc. But when the team has really struggled with that, Sainz has directed his own tire strategy from the car, which is very, very unusual. And a very famous example of this is the very rainy 2022 Monaco GP, where Charles got pole at his home race, yet finished P4 due to strategic blunders from Ferrari. And in contrast, Carlos started P2 and then finished P2, calling his own strategy. So the whole grid had started on full wets. People were going to inters before slicks. But Sainz just instructed, not asked. So he just like got on the radio and said exactly what he wanted, which was to stay out on wets and then go straight to the slicks, which was very bold and ultimately the right call, which is just so important to note that as a driver, like you're already trying to manage so many things by not crashing your car, finishing the race, wheel to wheel fighting, all the different things. And then to also be essentially doing the job of many other people on the team and trying to call your own strategy is very impressive.
In terms of his personal life and some fun facts, Carlos's family is very involved in his racing career. As we said, his dad is a racer. Sainz Sr. is still an active rally driver and is often spotted in the Ferrari garage. Sainz Sr. actually won the Dakar rally this year, making him the oldest driver ever to win that rally. So he is still in fighting form. And Carlos's manager is actually his cousin, Carlos Oñoro, who is also a fixture in the Ferrari garage. And in terms of off-track hobbies, Sainz is known to be a huge golfer, and he also seems to have an affinity for racket sports like squash and paddle.
Padel.
Padel.
It's only a matter of time before he becomes a DJ. It's going to happen. It's like Lando.
No, I disagree. I think Sainz is like too cool. He's got all these cool sports things. I think
DJing's not cool, Chessa.
It is, but it's different. Like, I think Sainz will sooner find a new sport endeavor before becoming a DJ. Like maybe he'll get into cross country skiing or I don't know, something
like that. Yeah, it seems like he's truly so into golf, which takes up a lot of time when you're already racing 24 races in a season.
He did a lot of cycling this weekend and like the off weekend between races. He was wearing like a full Ferrari kit on his road bike. It's very cool.
All right, so let's talk about Carlos now, his career prospects, what's next. So as we probably all know, there was a shock announcement that Ferrari was replacing Carlos with Lewis for the 2025 season. And Fred Vasseur said about his call to Carlos, telling him that the news that was one of the most difficult calls he's ever made. The good news for Carlos is that he is probably going to be one of the most competitive drivers, if not the most competitive driver on the market for 2025. And there are 13 open seats still open for next year. So what are his options? Here are the teams with open seats. We have Red Bull. Checo has not re-signed yet. We have Mercedes. Lewis has obviously left. We have Alpine, Williams, Haas, Stake, and VCARB.
And technically, Stroll has not re-signed at Aston Martin.
Technically.
I guess
we'll leave that as an open question.
What if Lawrence Stroll has just finally wakes up one day and says, Lance, you're out, I'm taking Carlos, and having absolutely an all-Spanish dream team for 2025.
A friend texted me when Alonso re-signed with Aston. He was like, hot take, Aston Martin is going to win the 2026 Constructors' Championship because Alonso has re-signed, Stroll is going to go to business school, and they're going to sign Carlos. And they have Honda, so they're going to crush it. I don't know, that may be a really hot take, but I do think I can see Aston Martin on the up for sure with the new regulations.
Oh, but not with science, I don't think.
Maybe. We'll see. One other big factor to mention here is Audi. So Audi is entering F1 in 2026 through taking over the current Steak/Sauber team. So the current reporting is that Audi really wants Carlos for 2026. So they may want him to potentially join Steak for next year to get started. There's one more year for them, and then it becomes Audi full force. Sainz Sr. has driven for Audi and Rally, so the family already has some strong connections there. But yeah, a lot of interesting dynamics going on. But I'm curious. The most likely options right now seem to be Red Bull and Mercedes in terms of top teams. Audi still kind of hanging out as a potential third. But what do you guys think is most likely? I know we've talked about this a little bit, but what do we see for him in the next year or two?
I think Mercedes. I think one thing that would really keep his options open, though, as we've seen from so many drivers, it's really stressful having a one-year contract when you are switching to a new team and immediately have to be fighting for your job for the following year when it can take a little while to adjust. But one thing that could be interesting to him could be doing a one-year contract somewhere like Mercedes and then truly having his options open for 2026 in case he's really liking the look of Audi. But that's almost taking two gambles in a row. So my preference for him right now would be if he could get Mercedes on a two-year deal, that would be incredible. I think that would be his best option right now. I think Audi feels like a huge gamble.
Massive.
And just when he's hitting
his career.
Yeah, just when he's hitting his stride. Obviously, Mercedes has been struggling, but that team is a machine under Toto. We know they're going to turn it around, and Audi's just much more of an unknown quantity at this point.
Okay, here's what I think is going to happen, and I will also say that the Italian media, La Gazzetta del Sporto, which is like the Italian F1, like they churn out all of the rumors. So I wouldn't necessarily say it's been fully vetted and secured, but they are saying that Carlos has signed with Mercedes for a 1+1 year deal, which, ooh, I think would be his best option. And so for everyone who doesn't know what a 1+1 is, it's a one-year contract. Like what Sarah said, it's probably what would happen. But then that plus one is basically he has like first right of refusal. He'll stay with the team unless he wants otherwise. So it gives them like a little bit of an extra headway. So you have the option to be with the team, but not necessarily have to be with them. So I think that's what would happen because – yeah, I think Mercedes is probably the best bet for him for 2025. Where 2026 really comes in is like, is Audi really that much more of a gamble than Mercedes would be in 2026? I think lately Mercedes hasn't had the best track record of coming out on top with new regulations.
It's so better than zero track record, right? Like, I think Mercedes is less of a gamble than Audi, but I also think I really think Toto has this thing in his mind with not getting Max and letting Max go and wanting that not to happen again with Kimi Antonelli or a young driver like that. And he seems to be very fixated on Kimi Antonelli. Like I don't think Mercedes is going to be willing to offer Carlos a long-term contract. And Chessa, to your point, the 1+1, like, yeah, I feel like it really depends what Carlos is looking for. And I think it is kind of a double gamble to go to Mercedes for 1 year, potentially keep options open, but know that 2025 for Mercedes is probably another throwaway year. So he's not going to be performing as well as he is at Ferrari right now. And then potentially having another gamble again to go to Audi. Like I almost feel like I think it's so hard. Like I almost feel like it would be better to go to Sauber if he thinks that Audi is the best.
Right, to get 1 year to like feel things out and be ready to go for 2026.
Yeah, I just don't think that Mercedes is willing to bank on Carlos for a long-term thing. And it just feels a little bit like a throwaway for him if he's not going to be around for 2026.
So he might as well go get his feet wet and start it out at Steak.
I do not want to see him bopping around in P17 next year.
No, me neither. At all.
It's such a hard conversation though, because like we mentioned, it's not – Carlos is young. Like he's a young driver, but he's not a spring chicken. Like he's not one of the rookies. And so a throwaway year is not a throwaway year. Like he can't really have a throwaway year. So going to Mercedes would be amazing because then he'd actually be able to fight in the form with which he deserves. But again, if they're not going to want him for 2026 – he might as well try to get his feet under him so that he has a fighting chance for Audi in 2026. It's such a hard conversation.
No, yeah, like brought up Red Bull. Do you I was about to say that's off the table?
I don't think it's off the table, but I do think Checo is doing a really, really good job, and it would introduce an unknown for the Red Bull organization for 2025. But I think if you're thinking longer term, if Red Bull thinks that they can build Carlos out for longer and potentially even be there for after Max leaves as a number one driver, then that's a great move for them. But if it's a shorter term thing, I don't know, for 2025,
I don't think so.
Like, Checo's already in the organization. He's doing well this year so far. He knows the team. He's a perfect match for Max in terms of teammate, in terms of temperament. So
like, do you guys think Carlos still wants to win a world or wants to win a world?
Yes.
Division? Yes. 100%.
Why would he go to Red Bull?
I think he's hungrier than ever. I think this is what's hard. I think no driver, I've come to this conclusion. I actually don't think any driver would turn down the Red Bull seat despite knowing all that entails, because in their heart of hearts, I think every F1 driver believes that they are the best and could win the title if they were in the best car. And that will be disproven once they're in the best car and are put next to Max. But I think everyone has to have kind of the fire to believe that to keep them going. And I think it's just simply too tempting. It's very logical to think through all the steps of, oh, I'm going to be slotted in number two. It's going to be a tough environment. I'm never going to be number one. I'm never going to be able to have a leadership role in the team in the same way as I would elsewhere. It's all of that weighed with just a car that wins by 30 seconds. And I think an F1 driver like is always going to pick that if they can.
It's true, but I do think Carlos, with the people around him, with his dad being so tenured and knowledgeable about motorsport, it's not like Carlos is going to make this decision independently in a vacuum by himself. Like, he's going to have a full team around him and his manager and his family. Just, like,
think about how hard it is. Like, so if someone was like, where is Carlos going next year? Like, we just spent like 8 minutes talking about it. That's a hard, hard answer. Must be so hard for him. And it's, you know, these are big choices. Like in F1, the choice that you make is a big choice, and it has a lot of repercussions, and you really can't go back from the choices that you make, which we've seen very clearly with other drivers' careers.
I think in this generation, it's most famously Daniel leaving Red Bull to go to Renault for 2019, which was just a complete disaster. Yeah.
Yeah. It's such a bummer because Carlos has really found his form at Ferrari. And it's not even probably worth having the conversation, but I wonder if Ferrari is like, shoot, did we re-sign the wrong driver?
I think Charles is going to be too busy with his ice cream mogul lifestyle next year, and they're going to be like, we need someone who's more focused. Like, let's just keep
Charles made it very clear that he had a full team around him, Guido and others, making this ice cream so he could focus
Federico
on racing
as well. And Alessandro.
Yeah.
Chess has sent the funniest text, like, Guido, ice cream dream team.
I can't wait. Do you guys think that Carlos will make clear what his options are or what his choice for next year is before silly season, or do you think he'll wait until end of summer? What behooves him most?
I bet we'll find out before traditional silly season where Carlos is heading. I don't know if it's going to be immediately, like in the next few weeks, but I think we'll find out probably before August, I would guess.
I agree. You know, I think probably early summer, because in terms of the pecking order here, I think he's really at the top. And so I think he'll probably fall into place first.
Yeah.
And then it'll start more of the domino effect. Obviously, you can never say anything for sure with silly season, but I would also expect it might be earlier than most of these other drivers.
I know this isn't a preview episode, so we don't technically have a hot take, but here's my hot take. We will find out in the next 4 weeks.
Okay.
That
Carlos is going
definitely to it's definitely possible if it gets leaked. I mean, the number of rumors going around.
Well, that's
right now,
I think what's happening.
Yeah,
you're gonna get out in front of it.
My hot take is Carlos Sainz goes to Aston Martin. Goodbye, Lance Stroll.
All right, Tiggy, you might be sleeping on
that
one for a while.
I want two Spaniards winning the world championship in 2026
with a Canadian team owner. Dream team.
Yep.
Could. We always say this about Lance, but Aston must have had to really make such a strong case to keep Alonso, because Alonso is also a really hot ticket. I think there would be a lot of these teams, like we said, with 13 open seats, I think all of these midfield teams would have loved to have Alonso. And they must be so happy and excited about the future at Aston Martin to get to keep him. And I wonder if that could be kind of the impetus to really think seriously in the next couple of years, what do they want the team to look like and who do they want next to Alonso? Because that would yeah. really catapult them if they could get signs.
It would be amazing.
It could, Aston, if things all fall into place for them, they could come out swinging so hard in 2 years for the new regulations. They'll have Honda. If the Newey rumors are true, which I know they've been denied, but if they somehow like lure Newey away for his swan song at Aston Martin for like the last stage of his car building career, and they have Alonso and they potentially have signs or someone else, like I could really see them doing incredibly well.
So where would Stroll go? What team would want
business
him?
School?
No, what team would want him?
No, if Stroll's not driving for Aston Martin, he's not driving in F1. Let's be honest.
Do you think any other team would actually want him?
No, no.
I don't think so.
I don't.
The 11th, Andretti. Let's see. No.
What if Carlos goes to Andretti? Andretti swoops in.
Andretti's like, we built this factory just for you, Carlos. Come on in. Oh, well. So there's a lot to think about here. We are so excited to see what happens with signs for the rest of the season. And of course, famously for next year and beyond. So we all hope that you enjoyed this deep dive. We love doing them. It's so fun to just like focus in on one of the drivers. So if there's anyone else that you would love a deep dive on, maybe we'll do Lance Stroll next time. Let us know. All right. Thanks, everyone.